Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Faith in his arms. Welcome to another Belly Nation production, broadcasting live out of Lagos, Nigeria. This is The Work Is Done. I am your host, Pastor Kevin Perry. Tonight, we have another great topic, and we want you to call in tonight. So grab your phones, call in at 516-453-9133. Call into The Work Is Done tonight, and let's conversate about another fantastic topic that the Bible is, that, you know, we're just going to get into this word tonight. Tonight, we're talking about, you know, we've been doing this series called What Does the Bible Say? And, you know, like I said, you have to know not just what it says, but also what it means. All right. So one of our go-to scriptures was 2 Timothy 2:15 that says, study to show yourself approved. All right. You know, workman unto God who needs not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth, to rightly divide, to get the proper meaning, the proper interpretation of what is the Bible is actually saying. And there, reading the Bible has to know three things that you have to know when reading and studying the Bible. You have to know who's talking, who are they talking to, and then finally, what is the scope of the conversation? Because as a believer, there are things that directly and there are things that indirectly affect you. So tonight, the topic is, what does the Bible say about drinking? And I know there are a lot of people who struggle with the topic of drinking and want to know, is it okay to drink? Is it not okay to drink? Let me say this. I am not, you know, supporting drinking. Personally, I do not drink. I don't drink wine. I don't drink liquor. That is a personal decision that I have made for my life. Now, so what does the Bible say about drinking? Number one, the Bible is not clear cut to tell us as believers that we cannot drink. So let's get that understanding. The Bible does not specifically say that you cannot drink. Now, there are people now who the Bible does directly say cannot drink. And if you are one of those people who are trying to follow those guidelines, then for you, then no, you cannot drink. So let's talk about that tonight. So if anybody's out there and you know, you've been struggling with this, you've been wondering and going back and forth, you know, this church allows certain things and this church doesn't. And, you know, it's just, you had this question of, is it okay for me to drink? All right. So let's look at that tonight. The Bible does not say, thou shalt not drink. But 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 tells us this. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Be sober, be vigilant. Now, we also have to understand that words are ambiguous. Words can a word can have several different meanings. One word can have several different meanings. But when you look at this word that says being sober, he is not really talking about drinking. It's just talking about having the right type of mindset. All right? But also, if you look at what sober means, another definition of sober means not to be intoxicated. And this is why, because anyone who drinks, you know, and I used to be a drinker, and I understand that. Pastor Kev, I used to, listen, I was at one time in my life, not to glorify it, not to boast about it, not to be braggadocious about it, but at one time in my life, I was a functioning alcoholic. I drank every day. Fully functioning, still went to work. I didn't allow it to, you know, cause me to get in trouble and things like that. But yes, I was a functioning alcoholic. I drank every day, and I drank with a purpose. My purpose, I wanted to feel. Amen. My wife and I, we wanted to feel the alcohol that we were drinking. If I couldn't feel it, then there was no need of me drinking it. And I was a mixologist. You know, if you had something to drink, You know, if you ask me if I want something to drink, what you got? Mix it all together, put a little chaser in there, and I'm good. So I mix the light with the dark. People say don't do that. I mixed it all together. I didn't care. All right? Not, like I said, not to glorify it, but just to tell you that I know what it means to drink. I'm not coming from a standpoint where this has not been my experience in my life for years. All right? So now when I came to Christ, when my wife and I, when we rededicated our lives to Christ, you know, we were still drinking. We were going to church, and I was singing on the praise and worship team, but we would come home, and I was still had that drink because I wasn't yet fully delivered. See, and that's another thing people have to understand, that just because you get saved today doesn't mean that you may not have that automatic turnaround that you think you may have. You may still be cussing some people out. Doesn't mean that you're not saved. It just means that God is still doing the work in you. All right? So we also have to understand that. God is still perfecting those things which concern you. So, yes, even though we were going to church, even though we were starting to serve in ministry, we still would come home and have that drink until we started praying and asking God to take that taste out of our mouth. And then here was the thing that happened. You know, when you're sincere about that thing, when you realize that you no longer want that thing to be a part of your life, and you give that thing over to God. My wife, this is what we did, because we had just went to the liquor store, and we had full bottles. But when we said, listen, and it was really my wife, so I have to give her the kudos on that too. Because she said, I don't want to drink anymore. And I was the one really kind of pushing the envelope, still like going out and buying, oh, we still going to do this. But when she really said, I don't want this anymore, I said, well, listen, if you're serious, then we're going to pour this liquor out. We're going to pour it down the toilet, and then that's going to be it. So are you sure? And she's like, I don't want it. And we went in that bathroom, and we poured out full bottles of liquor, and then we haven't had a drink since. So God saw the sincerity of our heart, knowing that, okay, I wasn't, and I'll be honest, I wasn't as sincere as my wife was at that time, but at that moment that we poured that liquor out, I was sincere. If we're going to do this, then we got to do it all the way. So when we poured it out, haven't had a drink since, haven't thought about having a drink, haven't relapsed or anything, all right? So now I share that with you just so you know where I'm coming from, that I'm not somebody that's just saying, you know, talking without experience, all right? So now, so the Bible tells us, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober when you become intoxicated. And everybody has a different level of what it means to be intoxicated. This is another reason why I don't drink. This is another reason why I tell people, really, it's really not good for you to drink. Because one glass could cause you to make a bad judgment. Just one glass. Now imagine what two glasses could do. Because, see, every time, see, the alcohol is so, you know, it sneaks up on you. It has that ability, it has that potential to sneak up on you, to whereas you may think that, and it's very deceptive, you may think that you're in control. That's how deceiving it is. You think you're in control when really you're not. Because some of the things that you would do while you were intoxicated, you definitely wouldn't do it if you were sober. So now the Bible's telling you now, he says, be sober and be vigilant, which means you got to be paying attention because the devil is out here seeking whom he may devour. It's easier to devour somebody who's not in control or aware of their full faculties. It's easier to deceive that person. Why? Because that person's senses have been dulled by the alcohol. All right, so now the Bible tells us that two types of drink. One, he says that it says that there's wine, and then the other says there's strong drink. Now, the strong drink is really, they're still talking about wine, but they're talking about a more powerful wine. So when they talk about strong drink, they're not talking about your rum, your gin, your Hennessy, and all that stuff. They're just talking about two different types of wine, wine and strong drink. So now it gives us clear instructions as to who can drink and who cannot drink. All right. So when you look in Leviticus, when God instituted the Levitical priest with Aaron and his sons, he told Aaron and his sons that they could not drink. They could not drink. All right. But he said, now, if you're going into the temple, you cannot drink. Other than that, it's really not clear on whether the Levitical priesthood were able to drink any other time. But the Bible is clear here in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 8, Leviticus chapter 10, starting at verse 8, it's very clear that he's telling Aaron and his sons that when they go into the temple, they better not have been drinking. All right? Because God wants you to be clear when you're coming into the house. All right? The next time it's mentioned, he's talking about in Numbers chapter 6, where he's talking about the Nazarite vow. Now, Samson, if you know your Bible, Samson was a Nazarite. He was a Nazarene, and which meant he could not cut his hair at any time, nor could he drink any type of strong drink. That was a Nazarite vow. So the Bible tells us that if any man or woman, even today, take the vow of a Nazarite, that they cannot drink. All right? So now, the Bible also talks about bishops and deacons. Deacons in 1 Timothy chapter 3, he talks about deacons. If anyone aspires to be a deacon, they can't be given too much wine. So it doesn't tell you that you can't drink. It just tells you if you're going to be a deacon, you can't have too much wine. But then what is too much? Too much for you may not be too much for somebody else. But how do you know when you have reached that limit? What is the limit for you? All right? See, I knew when I was a drinker, if I was out somewhere and I was sipping, I knew when I took that last sip, if that was my last, I knew when it was my last sip. Because, and that doesn't matter what I was drinking. I knew when I took that sip, I was like, oh, that's it. I reached the limit. I can't drink anymore. And let me tell you something. It's just by the grace of God that I'm even able to be here today, because I have done some very foolish things while drinking. And don't you notice that? You'll do the chances that you'll take with your life when you're drinking. And then when you study the Bible, you'll see that at no time when he talked about people being intoxicated, was it a good thing? And the only thing that, you know, even when Jesus went to the wedding, they didn't really say that they were intoxicated. The man just said, you know, people wait, you know, till the guests get drunk to bring out the good wine. He said, but you brought it out before we even got there. He said, normally people will wait till everybody was good and drunk, then they bring out the good stuff so people couldn't tell the difference. He said, but now here you done brought out the good stuff, and it's early in the party. So really, they hadn't even gotten drunk yet. But when the Bible talks about people actually getting drunk in the Bible, no good thing has happened. Let's do a little history. Him and his family, they came on the ark. You know, now they're on dry ground. Noah gets drunk in his tent one night, falls asleep, and he's naked. His son goes in and sees him and goes in, you know, he backs out, goes in and tells his brothers, they back in and throw a blanket over their father to cover him up. But now when Noah wakes up in the morning, he hears what his young son did, and he cursed his son. Now imagine that. The son didn't get you drunk. You got drunk and fell asleep naked in your tent. He was just coming in there for whatever reason and saw that you were nude, because you were drunk when you shouldn't have been drunk and nude in your tent. But now he went and told his brothers, hey, dad in there is naked. We need to cover him up. But he gets mad and curses his son. See, that's what alcohol will do to you. And I'm sure that somebody out there has a question or a comment about this. Call in tonight, 516-453-9133. even if you have a testimony about, you know, overcoming alcoholism or drugs or something like that, call in and let's have that conversation tonight. And we'll be right back after this track. And we're back live on The Work Is Done, brought to you by Beverly Nation, broadcasting live out of Lagos, Nigeria. Now, listen, these are live shows. This is not a pre-recorded show. Today is Friday, November 27th, 2020. So if you're listening tonight and you want to be a part of this show, please call in tonight, 516-453-9133. We're going to go to the lines. Caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Pastor, it's Jerry Petito. How are you?
Hey, Miss Jerry, how are you tonight?
I'm really good, thank you. So, you know that I wrote a book on addiction, so you know it'll be like 30 years I'll be celebrating in July.
Amen.
And I don't use the term clean and sober because I think of addiction differently, and I gave my life to Christ, who changed my life. So I don't go to meetings or do any of that, and I don't tell anyone not to. You know, everyone needs a support system.
Right.
But for me, I had to change my life. I had to, so that's what worked for me. So I don't struggle with, you know, wanting to do drugs or anything. You know, I completely gave it over. I would like to ask you if I can read a poem I wrote about changing your choice.
Amen. Go for it.
Okay. Okay. I had a life-changing moment that I knew had to be. The only way to change things was to first start with me. So I looked in the mirror and woke up one day and thought to myself I needed to pray. So I asked God to change me, to help me stay strong, to clean up my mess, to right what's been wrong. I cleaned up my diet. I cleaned up my room. I cleaned up all habits with this old dirty broom. I kept going forward and never looked back. I refused to derail, stayed on the right track. I realized my worth and all that did matter through my selfish behavior, the lives I had shattered. I finally decided at 30 years old to stop abusing my body, my mind, heart, and soul. My life-changing choice that I had once made, over 29 years now, guys, my debt has been paid. So you read all my thoughts on how to stay clean. It's all or nothing, my friend. There's no in-between. To live or to die is a choice you must make. Your life is not worthless, and you're not a mistake. One day at a time is a slogan you've heard. It works if you work it while applying his word. For you to get healthy, for your mind not to fail, escaping reality will keep you in jail. With addictive behavior, sex, drugs, food, or money, now substituting addictions, isn't that funny? I'm not an addict. This too shall pass. I'm not an addict. I'm just an ass. That's it.
Well, listen, I know, right before you came on, I was just stating how these are live shows. And you know, even doing live shows, we are under certain time constraints. But I wish that you would have been able to really take your time to read that poem, because it was so powerful that people who are listening need to hear that. We get our inspiration from the Bible, but something like that, which you just read, was powerful, because certain things that you said, you're not a mistake. And people think that because they have gone down certain roads in their lives, that now they have made these mistakes, what defines them. You are not your mistake. You are not that person. Just like you said, I'm not an addict. I'm no longer. And you and I have had that conversation before. We've talked about addiction. That people, you know, even when you go to the meetings, like you, I'm not going to tell you not to go to the meetings. You need that support system, just like you said. I'm not going to tell you not to go. You want to do a 12-step, make it 13, because your first step needs to be the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's your first step. Because he will not take anything away from you that you are not willing to let go of. And too many times people continue to struggle with addictions because they don't want to let it go. And then they make excuses as to why they are still holding on to the very thing that's keeping them bound. And like I said, I talk from experience. I'm not talking as one who hasn't been there. I've dealt with the alcohol. I've dealt with drugs. I've dealt with all of that in my life. And I know that if you really want to let something go, if you really want God to take something from you and deliver you from something, you have to be willing to let it go. So,
exactly,
yeah, I
Pastor.
Thank you for that poem. That poem was awesome. And I hope that people were really paying attention to what you said.
Oh, thank you. God bless you.
Thank you for calling in. And if anybody else is out there and you have a question or a comment, this is something that you've been dealing with, that you've been struggling with, you have to know that you are not by yourself. You are not alone in this. Everything that we go through in this life, somebody in the Bible has already gone through it, whether it's depression, addiction, somebody, you know, molestation, rape, abuse, physical, sexual, mental, whatever it is, you're not by yourself. Somebody in that Bible has already gone through it. Somebody in your family, somebody in your circle may be going through it. But the thing is, the devil wants to keep you isolated, thinking that you're the only one. See, this is how he goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, because he'll use the alcohol, he'll use the drugs to isolate you and then torment you with those thoughts. Nobody understands. Nobody knows what I'm going through. And see, that's the trick, because if he can get you to think that and think that you're alone, then that's what causes more self-abuse. Amen. So you're not alone. You're not the only one who's going through this. There are other people, and here's the thing. You have to know that there are people who went through what you're going through and have overcome. I'm here as a living witness, and this is why testimony is so important. Like I said, I don't share my testimony so I can get kudos or a pat on the back. Jerry, she just told you her story. She doesn't do that so she can get a pat on the back so people can say, oh, you did a great job. No, it's not about that. It's not even about me. It's not about her. It's about the power of God working in and through us that allowed us to be overcomers. The Bible says that we are overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. That's how we overcome. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And by the word of my testimony, if I'm able to help some other person get set free, then it was worth me sharing that testimony. We're going to go back to the phone lines. Caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where you calling from?
This is Angela, and I'm calling from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Hey, Miss Angela.
Like always, I enjoy tuning in to your show because it's important that we share our testimonies so that
yes.
You know, other people can see how we overcame and hopes that it will help and inspire and encourage them that they can do the same thing, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they don't have to go down the same roads that we went down. So I always enjoy sitting and listening to your show, enjoy hearing Jared's testimony. It's always good to share because you never know what other people are going through. And what little nugget they may be able to get from your testimony. So that's why I
Amen.
Share. I love to inspire people, encourage people, and let them know that, you know, no matter where you are, you can overcome, you know, that God has no respect for a person. You know, just like we overcame those obstacles that came at us, you know, we're here to tell you that you can do it too.
Right.
You know?
And
I thank
see, and
you
that,
for your show.
Oh, thank you so much. And, you know, that takes away that persona of perfection that people think
yes.
that they need to have.
Yes, exactly.
You know,
a lot of people, I come across a lot of people all the time that keep saying they gonna get saved, they're going to join church, they're going to get baptized when they get themselves together. You know, and I have to tell them that you're never going to get yourself together, you know, but going and being a part of a church and being a part of getting the understanding of what you need to help you grow and getting getting that teaching and education that can take you to the next level in your spiritual walk is what you need. And until you dive into that, it does not matter about the building, because you go to that building don't matter. You have to get yourself That's the church when you talk about the church. That's the church you're talking about. And you're never going to get yourself all the way together until you give yourself to whoever your higher being is, give yourself to Christ. That's what I had to do. You know, I had to surrender and know that, you know, I was powerless, that I didn't specifically have no power until I submitted to my spiritual creator is when I realized that I had power. And that's what, you know, a lot of people need to surrender and know that the only power they have is through the Creator.
Amen. Well, listen, again, I thank you for calling. I thank you for your support. And as usual, you are right on point with your words. And this is what people need to hear. That
Amen.
They are not
thank
alone.
You for allowing me to talk. Thank
yes,
you for allowing me
welcome.
To share.
Thank you. And listen, we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this next song.
This is my testimony, everybody. How God favored me in spite of my enemies. And if God did it for me, He'll do the same thing for you. Don't worry about your haters. Your haters can't do nothing with you. Listen to these words.
Love is patient, caring. Love is kind.
Love is felt most.
Love is felt most
when it's genuine.
You are. Love,
I had my share
of love
abuse.
Abuse.
Manipulated.
And its strength
misused.
And
I can't help but to give God glory. When I think about my story, oh yeah, y'all, I got a story to tell.
And I know
you favored
me
because my enemy. They did try, but they couldn't triumph over me. Yes, they did try, but it didn't work. I'm still here. I'm still alive. I'm still blessed. On my way to my destiny, because the favor of God is on my life. Let me tell you about love.
Love
is patient.
Love is patient, caring.
Love is kind.
Love is
felt
most
when it's genuine.
You are.
I had a whole lot of people in my life who abused my love. They manipulated it. And took the strength of it and tried to misuse it. But I can't help but to give God glory today. When I think about all I've been through, and I still came out on the winning side. I don't know about you, but I know that He favored me because my enemies, they did try. Sing it, y'all. But they couldn't triumph over me. Because great is He that is in me than He that's in the world. That's what they did. That's what they did. They told a whole lot of lies. But God favored me. My character,
my
integrity.
But it would not fall.
Would not bend.
Don't
compromise. God favored
me.
I spoke
life
and prosperity. I even spoke health. He favored me. They whispered about me. They conspired against me. They told a whole lot of lies on me. But God favored me. My character.
My integrity. My faith in God.
He favored me.
Will not fall.
It
long been.
Won't compromise.
God favors me. I speak prosperity.
And I seek
health.
In question,
but he's
favoring
me.
I promised him that I wouldn't compromise. Although I was going through, and I spoke life,
and
I spoke prosperity,
and
I spoke health.
Back live here on The Work Is Done. We want to take this opportunity to thank our ONE Commissioner Angela Thomas-Smith for calling in and for her continued support. Remember now, these are live broadcasts. And tonight here on The Work Is Done, we're talking about what does the Bible say about drinking. Amen. So call in tonight, 516-453-9133. If you're out there listening, you may be struggling with this. You know, this is not a place where you're going to be condemned, you're going to be judged, but I just need you to have understanding that, and just like Sister Angela said, you know, people think that you have to get yourself together before you come to Christ. You have to clean yourself up. Let me tell you, you cannot do that on your own. And it doesn't matter what it is that you struggle with, whether it's drinking, drugs, lying, stealing, cheating. It doesn't matter what the struggle is. The thing is, you cannot get through that. You can't get past it. You can't get over it by yourself. And can you imagine, you know, when Saul, who was on his way to persecute Christians, and he had an encounter with Jesus on the Damascus Road. Can you imagine him telling our Lord and Savior, you know, well, I know you're calling me, but let me go get myself cleaned up first. Let me go get my act together first. Let me stop being so hateful first. Let me stop persecuting the believers first. No, he had that encounter with Christ, and his life changed. For some of us, it's not as instant. And because it's not that instant, we think that it doesn't work. So there are people out there who have come to Christ, didn't really feel a change, didn't see a change, so you thought that it didn't work, so you went right back to your old ways. Listen, I've been there too, because you're looking for that feeling. You're not looking for that inward change. But the inward change is like the Bible says, it describes it this way. It says a farmer went to plant seed, and then, you know, the seed, he watered it day and night, but he couldn't tell really what was going on under the ground. But yet he kept watering it day and night. See, this is how God is working in us. He puts his word in us, and then it's up to us to feed and water that seed. Once we feed and water that seed, we don't see it until we just wake up one morning and recognize how there has been a change that has taken place in me, a change that I didn't even know was happening. Because just like that seed that's under the ground, you don't see it. You don't see what's happening with it. You don't see the change that it's going through. But there is a change on it that's taking place under the ground, that now you see that blade peek up through the dirt. You know, you say, oh, wow, it's starting to grow. Well, that's how that word is. It's that seed of that word that is growing on the inside of you, because that's where change takes place. It takes place on the inside of you. So those of you who are out there struggling, understand, you know, that there's change that can take place. But like I said before, God will not take away anything that you're not willing to let go of. So if you think that, you know, it's okay for me to have that drink after work, it's okay for me to sip that wine with dinner, I'm not here to tell you that you're wrong. I'm not here to tell you that, because ultimately that's between you and God. But don't try to justify it. And if you think it's wrong, because now, you know, our base scripture for this whole series of lessons, what does the Bible say, is going to be taken out of Romans 14, starting at verse 1, because it talks about the things that you put in the body, things that you eat, or what you drink. Amen. So you can't allow anybody else to bring you condemnation, but the Bible specifically says in that chapter, if you think that is wrong for you, then it's absolutely wrong for you. If you think that it's wrong, if you're not settled with it in your heart that this is right or wrong, if you're not settled, then it's wrong. Don't do it. And then I'm telling you, see, there are so many negative things that becoming intoxicated can lead to. Another instance is found in the book of Esther. A lot of guys right now today, 2020, think that when they get married, that they have to be the ruler of the house, that, you know, this is my castle and the woman has to do what I say. No, that's not biblical. And where it came from, where that mindset came from, is taken from Esther, because, you know, King Ahasuerus, he was having a party. His wife's having a party, but his wife, Queen Vashti, was beautiful, and they're drinking, him and his buddies, and as he gets drunk, he wants to show off the beauty of his wife, so he summons her, but she says, I'm not coming. Number one, you over there acting a fool, drinking with your buddies, you know, because, man, we know how we do. We out here drinking, acting a fool, now you want to show off the beauty of your wife, so she didn't go. So he asks all his friends, well, what should be done because she didn't come? His one of his buddies, Memucan, spoke up and said, she's going to be an embarrassment to you. She should not come before you anymore. You should write a decree that and send it throughout all your provinces that the man is the ruler of the house. That's where that came from. That wasn't from God. That's where that came from. That's where that mindset. And it came because guys were sitting around drinking, and that's what they came up with while they were drinking. Then you hear this. You hear people say, well, you know, Paul told Timothy that he can have a little wine for his stomach. That's in Timothy chapter 5. But you got to read the whole story. You got to read the whole thing. He was telling Timothy, he said, you should have some wine for your stomach for your often infirmities. So if you're claiming that you're sick often, then he's saying have some wine. But what believer should be claiming that you're sick often? See, so I know all the excuses. I know them all. But don't give yourself the excuse to do it. You don't need a reason. If you think it's wrong, don't do it. But if you do it, don't do it in access to where the Bible says you are a drunkard, because if you become a drunkard, he says you will have no part in heaven. We're going to go to our track, and we'll be right back after this.
Bread of life sent down the glory. Many things you were on us, a holy king, a carpenter, but you are the living word, say it now. Come on. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us. Bread, send down some glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
God with us, the living truth, and what a friend we have.
all together. This is what we like to call you, Jesus,
Jesus.
That's what we call you, yeah.
National Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting elect, Brother Huni Bakatun. Brother, welcome to The World Is Done.
Well, we must have received that straight from heaven, man, man of God. I don't know how you knew that, but hey, I've been with us. How you doing, sir?
I'm always good. How are you tonight?
Always enjoying your show. I mean, your message continues to get greater. I want to chime in on what you're talking about, wine. And me, as a person that was raised as a Nubian Islamic Hebrew, as well as being a proud graduate of the rabbinical priesthood in 1999, wine is a good thing. And it's not front, and you know, with just about every festival, the rituals that we learned throughout the Torah, and you know, just so many things, wine was a vital part. Yes, even fermented wine. It was called wine, also called kasim, right? So it's only frowned upon when a man or woman lose control. And this is what happened in the case of Abi Father Noah. It happened with Lot, you know, when his daughters took advantage of him according to scripture. You get what I'm saying? And
right.
There's even been cases when we read, you know, throughout the writings that speaks about if a man has pretty much lost it all, it was even encouraged even to get drunk at that point. So it's more of a controlled state. And just like this day and time, man of God, you got a lot of times men as well as women have lost control, and the actual substance is controlling them. That's when it's become frowned upon. I didn't want to take time to share my thoughts on that. But I also got some great news for you, Pastor. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
You know, I have seen you put in a lot of work, and I can't begin to thank you enough for coming, just being a part of O&E Dynasty, and you just giving us the word on the daily. And, you know, your great work is really, really paying off, and it's really, really paid off tonight. That's why I want to say congratulations, Reverend Pastor Kevin Perry, on your O&E syndication station all-time connection record. This is your seventh all-time. Proud of you. Keep doing what you were sent to do, and I'm going to put it on pause for listening to the rest of the show, sir.
Amen. Listen, I thank you so much for your words of wisdom, and you are absolutely right, you know, and I hadn't even gotten to a lot yet, amen, but and this is why I like to have these topics, these conversations, because people need clarity, you know, because a lot of people, especially some of the older saints, when I say older saints, you know, my mother's 83. I when she was coming up, my grandfather was a pastor. They were taught that strong drink was Pepsi. They couldn't even drink Pepsi as kids coming up because it was considered strong drink. So there's been a lot of misinformation and misrepresentation of, you know, as far as the word is concerned, about drinking. And here's the thing, you know, in the book of Deuteronomy, God tells them, you know, bring the tithe of the wine. So, yeah, like you said, it's not that the drinking is the sin. It's what you allow to control you, because what you do in access, and that's with anything. Anything that you allow to take control of you, that you give more weight to, anything that you lose control to, that's when it becomes a sin. And that's what I said. It's that personal decision. For me, I know it's not good for me to drink, because I know that if I were to drink, I would abuse it. I wouldn't be in control. And that's one of the things he told, you know, for bishops, which are nothing but pastors. A lot of people think that, oh, I'm a pastor, but then I want to be elevated to bishop. And a bishop is nothing really but a pastor. You may be pastoring other churches or more than one church, but you're still a pastor. You just have a different title. But it tells them, he says that you can't be given to no wine. Why? Because you have to be self-controlled. And anytime you lose control over anything that you're doing, that's when it becomes sinful. And it doesn't matter. And you have too many people thinking, you know, or don't know what to think when it comes to this topic. So hopefully, prayerfully, you, those of you that are listening, those of you that may have been struggling, should I drink wine, should I not drink wine, read Romans chapter 14, because it is clear. It says, if you think that what you're doing is wrong, then to you it is wrong. If you think it. It's not about what Pastor Kev thinks. It's not about what anybody else in your family thinks. If you think that what you're doing, and that's in any situation, any circumstance, if you think that it's wrong, then to you it is wrong. Amen? So listen, let's learn together. Let's grow together. More importantly, let's bring on Brother O together.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for what you've done for a lot of people, Pastor Perry. They need to hear this show tonight. You know, constraint. If it's hurting your family and your loved ones, stop it. This show is intervention. We're here to save lives. Every one of our shows, you hear it on a constant basis, our ministry. Some ministries, you know, able to understand or what have you. That's okay. Every show is for you.
No.
Every show is for you. Pastor Perry's show tonight is for you. If it's hurting you, causing you to have this judgment in the things you do with your life, you know, or your life's work, then stop it. Stop it now before it's too late. And that's what Only Dynasty is all about. Our commitment and our mission statement is to save lives. We're so proud of what's coming up on Tuesday night. Every single person, with inclusion of our hosts, celebrating our Oneonis for the third time. And that's going to be, of course, Tuesday night, December 1st, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. On these O&E stations, we celebrate a lifetime achiever in Andrea Presley. We celebrate the works and the election and enshrinement of Huni Bakatun. We celebrate the legacy and the arduous work of our linear new host of the year, Mr. Tara Strength, and, of course, the O&E host of the year overall, the Anna Waddell Award for Excellence. You will find out who won the vote today on that night, and it's going to be outstanding. Presented by the Waddell children of Griffin and Sydney and Edward Burks. What a night, Pastor Perry, huh? You be a part of that, right? What a night to be able to listen to how we honor our hosts. And you were part of that last year. You heard the show last year, and it was a phenomenon. You know, last year, Jerry Petito, you know, went to the Hall of Fame and was only host of the year. And I cannot wait to be able to present that wonderful, wonderful award dedicated to a woman that was a woman of God who believed a progression. The wonderful Miss Anna Waddell. Tomorrow night on these O&E stations, come right back on, of course, with the wonderful coach, Derek Gibson, and Huddle Sports Nation with Uptown Deuce as his co-host tomorrow night, 9:30 Eastern Standard on these O&E stations. And, of course, we want to be able to honor congratulations to Reverend Pastor Kevin Perry on his 7th O&E syndicated station all-time connection record in the 3 millions. First time you ever achieved that. Congratulations, Pastor. And, of course, you know what time it is, right? Bevan Nation is advertising to O&E, which is Oladeli, and Ngozi Enterprise. You reach, of course, at www.lookingglassentertainment.wordpress.com, as well as Ngozi Primetime 1 at bevnet.com. We're Ngozi Time, both for Twitter and Instagram. Oladeli and Ngozi at Pinterest and Google+. Oladeli and Waleo and Ngozi at Facebook, as well as our basic page, The Work Is Done, as well as the historic Bevan Nation Online Radio, established 2013. Any comments, suggestions to our wonderful program tonight? Oh, laydaylay.ngozi@my@gmail.com. And I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Oladeli Malewa Ngozi, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Force Radio that support us on a constant basis. I named this show, and Pastor, I told you that when we first came on the radio, after when I was 5 years old and I was sick. You know, I had a little fever. My father came in and said, son, it's going to be all right. He began to pray. And as he prayed for whatever ailment that I had, he told me, Pastor, the work is done. The work is done. I never forgot that. And through all those years, Pastor came on and I said, you know what? I have a title for your show. He said, what is it, Olad? And I said, listen. The work is done. It is dedicated to my father and the healing process, the spiritual healing process of his words. Once he told me the work is done, I didn't have a fever anymore. And now, back to Reverend Pastor Kevin Perry for 2 minutes and 1 second left to go in the program.
And this is what a lot of people need to hear.
Hold on. I meant to say this. Also, through his process tonight, we're going to extend that time because I got caught up thinking about my dad. And that's all right because guess what? I'm going to do what I got to do because my dad was very, very important in my life. And now we have the invitation to discipleship. And then 2 minutes and 1 second of the morning. Let's go to the program.
Yes, yes. And like I say, you know, for those of you who may be struggling, whatever area it is, to allow the work to be done in your life so that you can say it is done. Jesus, one of the last things he said when he was on the cross, he said, "It is finished." And that meant that all the work he put in so that you can have access to God the Father through him, so that you can have access to all the blessings, to all the grace, to all the mercy, to all the forgiveness, to all the deliverance. He said, "It is finished." So he's not going to come back to be re-crucified so that you can get over whatever it is that's keeping you in bondage. He has given you the power. He has given you the authority. Read Luke chapter 10, verse 19. He says, "I give you power and authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means can harm you." So you have to learn how to exercise your power and your authority. And if you've never done that and you want to accept Jesus Christ, knowing that there's a process to change, then simply say, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Thank you for saving my soul. In Jesus' name." Now get yourself into a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. Get into some serious Bible study. If you don't have one, join me, Pastors Kevin and Robin, on Facebook. Become a member of Awesome Faith Christian Center. You don't have to be a member of my church. I just want you to get to a church that's going to teach you better than what you have been. Amen. And I'll see you here next time. Bless you all. Have a good one.